Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears. ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, live from the Old National Bank Studio. WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Any perfect brackets left?
I don't think so.
Not mine, Carm, unfortunately, no. For me. You know, we drafted seven teams. Only two are left.
Ooh.
We've had Tennessee and UCLA left.
Well, you got a couple of good ones, at least. I think UCLA still can make a run if the injuries stop piling up for UCLA.
We had a lot of good ones. Smartly enough, we were able and smart enough to avoid Purdue.
Good thing.
Yeah. Purdue, utter disappointment.
Don't.
Big Ten again, garbage.
One team.
Absolute garbage, the Big Ten. And for as much as the Big 12 wanted to tout itself as something special, with so many teams rated in the top 25, the Big 12 is garbage.
But why is that? Why are they all so highly rated? Weren't they all highly rated
because
in Ken Palm and
they
efficiency?
All sit there. Well, I mean,
if
you go to Ken Palm and you take a look.
Yeah.
I think you'll come back with some knowledge that maybe, maybe not. But certainly Kansas and Arizona were both in the top 20. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were both top 20 when it came to Ken Pom ratings.
You know, why does this happen? Why is the Big Ten certainly the Big 12 look so dominant and so strong all year, and then you get to the postseason and what? They have two teams left. The Big Ten's got just one, and of course it's Izzo. Go figure.
Do you give Kansas a break because Bill Self's not there as the coach?
No, Yurk, that's a good question.
I'm asking a question. If the leader's not there, do you give him a break? Or do you say, okay, well, maybe I can explain Kansas?
That's a very good question. They had that game, man. They had it, and they just did the last 6-7 minutes.
Did Gonzaga win yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. So your 8, 9, 10, 11 are out. Purdue, Kansas, Arizona, Marquette.
All out.
Are out of the tournament. Out of the tournament. Gone. Houston, Bama, UCLA, Connecticut won, right?
Yep. All
Texas
in.
Won.
All in. Yep.
Tennessee won.
Yep.
And Gonzaga. So your top seven are still in the tournament.
Well, so that's impressive, I guess.
Yeah. Your lowest ranked team still in the tournament?
Princeton, right?
At
Princeton.
91.
15 seed.
In Kenpom. Kenpom.
Oh, and they were 91st, huh?
91st in Kenpom. Princeton's still in there.
How is Princeton?
Doing it the way they always do it.
Oh, my
Just
God.
Just finding a way to frustrate the living eight shot of you.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Miami of Florida. I tell you. Physical defenses, they allow the if teams are allowed to play physical defense, they unsettle teams that have got good offenses.
What Tennessee did to Duke, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. What Miami of Florida did yesterday, they're getting in your kitchen, they're grabbing, they're clutching, they're doing everything they want to do. And if it's not going to be called, guess what? If that's the norm, then those teams then have the advantage. And they showed it yesterday.
Kansas.
Arkansas.
There's another one,
They
played,
I thought there was some felonious assault going on that court. Yet, if you condition the referees and the referees don't want to be a part of it anyway, and you condition the referees that that's the way you're going to play, that advantage then goes to the more physical teams. I think you've seen it throughout the whole process. Tennessee, another one of those teams.
100%. What they did to Duke on Saturday,
right, yeah,
100%.
Though I think they benefited because a lot of calls came Tennessee's way. A little bit later.
They got physical. I think Arkansas is another good example of that. I think even Princeton. I thought Princeton bullied Missouri around a little bit on Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Missouri got bullied around.
I mean, what? And that was one of my best bets of the weekend was Missouri. I was fading Princeton after the upset win. History says fade that team. And then they punched Missouri in the mouth. Everything, especially in the first half, was one and done for Missouri. The more physical team around the basket, defensive rebounding. It was Princeton. Bunch of smart kids who can also play some basketball.
They
evidently.
Can.
That little
they
point
space.
Guard's pretty good.
They space.
It was incredible. So, yeah, if you got a little physical and you force the – you always say it, force the refs. Force them to interject themselves.
Force
and sometimes
them to
they
be
don't.
A part of it. And then they don't want to be a part of it. Then all of a sudden, there you go.
So Kansas is out. Purdue's out. Kentucky's out. Kentucky was just a 6 seed because of the slow start this year. Arizona's out. Marquette's out. Duke's out. A lot of blue bloods. Everybody said this one's wide open. Maybe they were right. You still have UCLA. You still have UConn. You still have MSU. Those are blue bloods. Gonzaga has now reached the Sweet 16. You know how many straight years Gonzaga's been in the Sweet 16?
16.
Eight, which is pretty incredible.
Years.
Nobody else has done that.
In the Sweet 16.
They've got the best active streak going. Eight consecutive years in the Sweet 16 for Mark Few and Gonzaga, which is pretty impressive. Drew Timmy is one of those guys, you know, looks... The joke is easy. I don't know how old he is. Seems like he's been there forever. He looks like he's 32. And he looks like he should be playing, you know, pickup ball over at East Bank Club or wherever. I don't know. He keeps going. Congrats to Northwestern. I don't know if Northwestern fans want to hear that or not.
Congrats.
I don't mean to, this is not a swipe by saying what's really expected.
And you won a game. You lost in the second round.
And you were tied with UCLA with 10 minutes to go.
Yeah.
You were tied.
Good effort.
With UCLA.
Good effort.
Hey, I thought they played pretty well. Good for them. I mean, the second half that Dodige put together was fantastic. That was a fun watch Saturday night. Thoroughly entertained. I say good for Northwestern. Now, what you don't want to happen is for them to go five straight years where they don't go back and have a... I think I read it in Paul Sullivan's column. Since when they went in 17 up until this year, Yerk, I think they had like a 267 winning percentage, Sully wrote, in Big Ten play. That's brutal. You can't even win 3 out of every 10 of your games. You can't have that happen. So when I say, well, what's expected of Northwestern, I don't mean it's okay to now not go back for 5 years and win fewer than 3 of every 10 conference games. That's not okay. You expect more out of Chris. You expect more out of that program. But at the same time, like, I kind of tip my hat and say, hey, you entertained us this year. It was pretty good. And I'm telling you, the game they played Saturday night I thought was fantastic. They kept it close. They covered the spread. They were tied with UCLA with 10 minutes to go. Good on you, Northwestern, for making that a fun, competitive game. And maybe some fans will say, go stick it. We want more than that. We don't expect just to be in games. What else do you expect?
This is their second trip, right? Their
second ever trip.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, you participated.
Yeah.
Be happy you got a chance to participate. You got invited to the dance, okay? Good for you. You're invited.
Sylvie and I did noon to 3 on Friday, Yerk, because we had a Sox game, and so we covered 3 hours. And we had Wilbon on. And Sylvie said, if you guys beat UCLA, will that be the biggest win in Northwestern's history, period? Not just basketball. You think of the upset in Notre Dame. What was that, 92, 93, whenever the upset, 94 maybe? Forgive me. Michael had said it on Friday. I can't remember the exact year. The upset in Notre Dame comes to mind. I had said, what about the win against Auburn in the bowl game a few years ago? But that was an Auburn team that I guess you'd say was, I think there was like a 7-4 Auburn team. So not, you know, like a powerhouse Auburn team. But Wilbon said, yeah, there's a pretty good chance that would have been the greatest, like, sporting win in Northwestern's history had they won that game. Of course they didn't, but all right. So Northwestern,
we're not going to be sad. They got in. They participated. They won a game. They lost. Life goes on. To a 2 seed, which is what's supposed to happen.
Which is supposed to happen.
You're supposed to lose to a 2 seed.
And now you got one Big Ten team left. And, of course, it's Tom Izzo. I don't know. I didn't think much of Michigan State, but this is all they do. They lose in the first round or they make a deep run. So, yeah, you know, it was a fun weekend of college hoops. Consumed a lot of it. A lot of upsets. Some a little bit more stunning than others. Arizona going down in the fashion in which it did. Purdue going down in the fashion in which it did against the smallest team I read in the tournament. Did you know that?
I did
not. Smallest team in terms of average height in the field. And Zach Edey had numbers, and he put up numbers. But just an ugly, ugly game for Purdue. So now we have 2 all-time number one seeds to go down. In ignominious.
Virginia?
My friend. Virginia and Purdue are the only 2.
And Purdue. And Virginia lost the first round game also, right?
That's what I'm saying.
No.
This year
is a 4 seed. Virginia found a way to lose.
Lost the first game, and that was the first game of the tournament.
I tell you, they're Feast of Famine Club too, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Either they're getting dumped up as high seed. They're either getting dumped out or they're making the run to the finals.
What happens when you play slow?
Garbage.
When you slow it down, you're opening it up.
Yeah, but the defenses have been the story in this year. This year's the story has been defense. Defenses. And then guys hitting key shots at key times. You had a guy that made it 1 basket the previous game, came back and shot 70% from the field.
Go figure.
Yeah. But it's still the defenses and the referees willing to allow a team to maul another team to death without having to blow the whistles because they don't want to become a part of the story. But by not calling the fouls, you are becoming part of the story.
I needed one Big Ten team last year to make it, so I didn't lose that bet to
Scott.
But that one lost. Only one team in the last two tournaments combined. Is that right? Make it to the Sweet 16. Second weekend starts later this week. And if you enjoyed the college hoops and you have any other big takeaways or thoughts, let us know. 312-332-ESPN. Alabama's still alive. Yes, Adam and Bella. Alabama.
How dare you? How dare you not mention now the favorite to win it all?
Alabama.
And
when did Alabama become a basketball school?
So Nate Oates got there a few years ago. He came from Buffalo, and basically, like, the school decided, like, we're sick of being a football school. We want to be a more than just that school. And he started recruiting these kids, like Javon Quinterly, and he gets these guys to stay, too. Like, Quinterly tore his ACL last year in the opening round, so getting him to stay another year was good. I mean, and then he recruited the best player in the country.
Who's been quiet in the tournament, though, mostly, right?
I mean, well, he had a game where he scored no points. Because
the first game, he didn't score. Yeah, he didn't play a lot.
He didn't play. Well, he's dealing with a groin injury. Yeah. Quinterly showed up in the last game huge. But basically, because of NIL deals, like, Bama has the money to go out and convince kids to play for them. And they've become this team. And Nate Oates has been great for them, and they just signed him to an extension, and he's probably going to be there for the next 5-6 years.
He's always got that nice houndstooth jacket too. He was sporting it the other
well
day.
And here's the thing, like, there's, you can say, okay, there's a bigger job, but if he continues to recruit these great players,
it's Alabama,
you've got the money, you've got the backing, why go somewhere else?
Influential boosters with deep pockets. I mean, Alabama all of a sudden is a basketball school, not a football school. Go figure.
They're an everything school.
How's their diving team?
I don't know. It's probably pretty good.
Softball's usually pretty good, too.
How's their fencing team?
Softball's pretty good. Gymnastics is decent.
How about their fencing team?
I don't know about fencing.
And Alabama is now the favorite to cut down the nets and win this whole thing in Houston in just a couple of weeks. Did you enjoy it as much as you normally do? 312-332-3776. York's down to two teams left. But you got two pretty good ones, so you might be able to make a little bit of room.
I had five good ones.
Well, you always think
I had five good ones.
Until you don't.
And they crept the bed.
Until you don't.
They made big stinkies in the bed, Carm.
So much for Zetterman's guarantee that Kansas makes the Elite Eight. I'm glad I never made that bet. Yeah. Jeez. I had a bad enough weekend as it was.
Absolutely.
I got my clock cleaned. I said clock.
Big 12 with two teams left. Are you kidding me?
What happened, Danny?
All the Giants are being
What happened
crushed.
To the guarantee plus 185? Oh, take it to the bank. Kansas to the Elite Eight. I'm glad I never made that bet. It would have been just another bet that I lost over the weekend.
Another loser, courtesy of the Big 12.
Yeah. After a promising start on Thursday, by the end of the day, Friday and Saturday wasn't so good. I took yesterday off. I said, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to tap out. I'm just going to watch basketball.
You gave up, huh?
I said, forget it.
No more gambling? I give up?
Well, for this tournament, I mean, listen, done. There's a reason I don't watch a lot of college basketball.
Did Mikey hand out some winners?
Mikey handed out a few. He gave out like seven games. I got to go back and get the final count of how we did.
Yeah, let's get a tally on that.
I don't know. Was it just me? It felt like I know for me it was, and it felt like the dogs were barking a lot again.
It felt that way.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like the dogs barked a lot all weekend.
Outright winners, the dogs.
Poor Shaka Smart. At least he won one game. I'll give him that. At least he finally did win an NCAA tournament game. It had been a long time, but it ends the same way people expected it to end for Shaka Smart at this point when he gets into these postseason games. I think it's now 1-8. Is that right? In his last 9 NCAA tournament games, 1-8, I think, straight up. Not good. We got plenty to talk about today. It's not just hoops. I'll tell you the other tournament that has been shockingly fun. I don't know why I say shockingly fun.
You've been watching the girls, the ladies play?
I have not watched too much of that. The WBC has been very good. Maybe it's because the U.S. is doing well.
Did you watch the golf tournament yesterday? Maybe that's the tournament you're talking about?
I did not. Which WBC tournament? WBC has been good.
The World Boxing Council?
The World Baseball Classic.
You've been watching fighting?
I have not. The World Baseball Classic has been very entertaining. Trey Turner is like Captain America right now, which has been fun. Ryan Poles continues to be very forthright and very available to media members across the country. He did another extensive sit down with Peter King this weekend and another one with Albert Breer, York, and talked about the way the trade came together now just over a week ago from this last Friday and the first week of free agency. Talked about why he did the trade when he did. His plan for this offseason and how they tried to attack it. We'll read you some of the highlights and the quotes from two of those stories, coming out of big national publications and media centers from two of the big NFL heavy hitters, Albert Breer and Peter King. So we'll bring you some of that. 312-332-3776 if you want to join us. It's Carmen and Yerk. The Good Kid is back, and we're back on this Monday reacting to a lot from the weekend. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back.
No, no, no.
This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's Home for Sports.
No.
Full weekend of free agency now in the NFL. Things are slowing down a little bit, Yurk. You can tell. Second wave kind of stuff happening. The Bears really did a lot. I still think they have a long way to go before we give out any sort of official grade for the offseason. Ryan Poles reiterated a few times last week, can't fix everything in one swoop. And I get that because they had a bad roster that they made even worse as the season went on. I understand why. But there's a lot of rebuilding to do. I think the steps they've taken have been good. I still love the trade more than anything. I like the signings of the linebackers, but, you know, we're still talking about non-pass rushers. They haven't really fixed or addressed their pass rush. They signed a couple of rotational guys, and unless you expect after, for whatever reason, taking a step back when he looked like he was ascending, maybe Travis Gibson can change the trajectory and can continue to improve. I don't know where the pass rush is coming from, but maybe they're just focused on the draft, that they're going to add that. They're convinced they're going to be able to add that come the draft a little over a month from now. But that's still the biggest glaring weakness on this team, and I'm not sure how good they're going to be without adding some serious pass rush and some players that are capable of getting to the quarterback this
year.
They
added one lineman?
They added two. They added two linemen. Rotational linemen. Yeah.
Rotational. Offensive linemen, I'm talking about.
Oh, they added Nate Davis, and did they add another offensive lineman?
No,
I don't think so.
It's one offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
On a team that couldn't protect the quarterback. On a team that was being shoved into their quarterback on a regular basis. On a team that, if the quarterback wasn't so athletic, he'd have been murdered back there.
Dare I say their defensive line metrically graded out worse than their offensive line?
I would say that they're both pitiful last year, and you've done very little to adjust. But you got me a running back. Oh, boy. Let me celebrate.
They got two.
Right?
But I don't mind that. That's
okay. How about that?
Like,
look at that. We got running backs, and we got linebackers, right?
Yes.
Got linebackers without having a defensive line, and I've got running backs without an offensive line.
Yes.
Great. The whole town wants to sing the praises, right?
Not the whole town. Everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want me to read to you what people are saying?
Oh, please read to me the propaganda. I can't wait to hear it. Bears Propaganda 101. Let's hear it.
I mean, Peter King's number one team after the first week of free agency, the Chicago Bears. This is the kind of stuff that scares me. Now, Peter, to his credit, even wrote this, and I highlighted this, as you can see.
Oh, did he put a big kind of qualifier on the whole thing? Where if I'm wrong, go to paragraph two.
Well, not that, but he wrote, Poles and the Bears to this point have won March, but winning in March is a bitter victory if losing in the next 3 years follows.
So Yurko's not wrong, though. If someone's going to have footnotes in their column, it's going to be Peter King weekly essay.
But that's not that it's a footnote, but it's something that bears, like, reminding. Poles in the Bears to this point have won March, but winning in March is a bitter victory if losing follows in the next 3 years. That's right. Winning in March doesn't necessarily, dare I say quite often, doesn't even really contribute to the types of turnarounds that everyone thinks is going to happen when you're getting all giddy about free agency. Very rarely.
Now, all this being said, there's no grade on this team until September.
That's what I was saying.
When I come to training camp, that's when I'll grade this team what this offseason look like. As you haven't finished added, you haven't finished subtracting. Up until you get that opening day roster in September, that's when I'll be able to judge exactly. Because some of these guys they may have signed over the course of time may not be here. So I will wait, take deep breaths, and wait till that lineup September before they go into their first game to be able to assess exactly what this offseason looked like. And it might get better through the draft.
Yeah, like
so
they,
Whether I'm upset, not upset, whether I think there's some areas that I think that lacked addressing could still be addressed during the draft. Maybe there's some maneuvering, some manipulation, some things that are going to happen. Okay, I'll wait. I'll see. And I'll be patient. But the Detroit Lions built their team on the lines. They did it correctly. They did it the right way. They're starting to reap the benefits of it. And they're not a cute, sexy pick once Aaron Rodgers leaves.
No, they're the pick
right
now.
And the inevitable hot air balloon that the Minnesota Vikings rode runs out of all that hot air and they come back to earth.
Yeah.
They're not the cute, sexy pick. They are the best team.
I think you're right.
Period. And let's remember who's got two first-round draft choices.
They do.
And four of, like, the first 58.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
It's the Detroit Lions.
The odds reflect it. The betting handle reflects it. Yeah. I think you're right. The Lions are the best team in the division.
They're not the cute, Detroit Lions. No.
Yeah.
They're the dangerous, about-to-be ferocious Detroit Lions. And if you thought that was Green Bay was the only team you're going to have to overcome over the course of a lifetime, guess what? Green Bay has voluntarily decided to souk. Okay? Because they said goodbye to Aaron Rodgers. Hello to Jordan Love. We know nothing about Jordan Love. And they said, guess what? We're going to souk for a while. Okay? I'm going to let them souk. But your problem is now that you got to get to the Detroit Lions.
They're looking up at the Lions.
And it's not cute. And it's not sexy. It's just the facts.
For three straight weeks, Peter King has devoted a lot of his Monday morning, his football morning in America column to the Bears. Combine. Last Monday, it was the weekend, you know, it was the Monday after the trade. Again, today, he writes, after a conversation with GM Ryan Poles the other night, it sounds like the trade was almost an even bigger trade. Poles told me he had significant discussion with Houston at number two that could have made him trade down twice in the top 10 with the Texans and Panthers. He wouldn't be specific on what broke down, but he did say, quote, I thought there was an opportunity to do something historically pretty cool with the trade from 1 to 2 and then 2 to 9. That had potential to add more draft capital this year and then the possibility that you're sitting on 3 ones the next year. That had my attention, but my gut told me to trigger on it now. At the combine, I thought those quarterbacks did an outstanding job in the interview process. A lot of teams felt really good about some of those guys. But as you get further away from the combine, maybe there's a bad pro day or something that turns teams off, close quote. What do you think of that, Yerk? That he thought for a while he might be able to do what we were all hoping, but he didn't want to get too greedy. And once, Peter goes on to write, once, and he's got a good relationship from, he mentioned this with Carolina's GM, the Poles does, from their years together, just, I think, crossing paths on the road as scouts. He said that he has a good relationship with Scott Fitterer, the GM of Carolina. He said once he made it clear to him that DJ Moore had to be in the trade and they said okay, for him, he wasn't going to mess around. Like, he didn't want to get greedy and think, can I still play this where I can trade to Houston? He's like, this is what we want. We want DJ Moore. He talked later in the story about how much he liked him coming out of college. And when he had an opportunity to get him, he wasn't going to mess around. Do you like that approach where maybe you could have got more, but he didn't want to be too greedy and he didn't want something to backfire? And he said, this is the best deal that's presented itself. We're going to take
it. I think he addressed the wide receiver position with the most proven player that's coming out either in the draft or that was made available and the youngest player. You know, he may not be DeAndre Hopkins, but he's much younger than DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
He's less expensive than DeAndre Hopkins. So I think in the best case scenario, he got the one player he could get who's the best wide receiver that might have been available. Better than Adam Thielen. Less expensive and younger than DeAndre Hopkins.
Adam Thielen went to Carolina.
Yeah, I know.
After all said and done.
I know. 3-year contract down there.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to replace DJ Moore?
No.
Okay.
Not at this point.
There we go. So we got the same feeling. Yeah. I like what Ryan Poles did. I've got no problem with it. He pulled the trigger when he pulled it. I think he got the right type of compensation. They've got two picks next year, which I think puts them in a tremendous position of flexibility.
I think what we have to remind ourselves is that, like, and Poles has tried to say this. Could the Bears go from 3 to 7? Yeah, sure. I think they can go from 3 wins to 7 wins. Yeah, if Justin Fields gets better, they absolutely should be able to do that. I don't know that they're going from 3 to 10 or 3 to 12. Like, this team.
But we'll find out.
We'll see.
We'll find out. Odds are you're not going to.
Right.
Odds are the improvement that Jalen Hurts made last year with the Philadelphia Eagles was the improvement he made individually with his team, with his players, with the improvements they made to their roster. It was unique to Philadelphia. Now, you're asking Justin Fields to do the same thing. You want to be able to see it. You want it to be crystal clear, like it is in Philadelphia now, that you have your quarterback. In absence of that evidence and proof in 17 games next year, I think the Bears find themselves in a position with two picks in the first round next year.
Yeah.
Where if they decide not to do certain things, they could put themselves in position to be in line to get whatever they want.
This is going to take a couple of years probably. Yeah. And they don't have the talented roster that the Eagles had going
not,
into
not
last
yet.
Year.
Not yeah. yet. Not yet.
And I think it still might take them another offseason to get there. Tonight, Bears Weekly is back on the air. It's going to be a new weekly show now that we're the home of the Bears, that the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, the one and only, does each and every week. It's Joniak and Jim Miller. Tonight's guests will include a couple of the newcomers, your T.J. Edwards and Nate Davis. So that's on 6 to 7 after Waddle and Sylvie tonight. You will get Bears Weekly. Andrew's in Elgin on ESPN 1000. Hey, Andrew.
Hi, guys. I hope you had a good weekend. Yurik, I wanted to ask you, how was your golf trip and how did you play?
I shot 95, 91, 103, 102.
Not bad, Yurik.
How was the weather?
The weather's okay. I've been there in, I've been to Pinehurst in March and I've been there in November. It's far superior in November than it is in March.
Seems right.
If you love hitting off of dirt, go in March. If you want to hit off of grass, go in November.
Go November.
How were the dinners with the guys and
the cocktails? The camaraderie was exceptional. The cocktails were thirst quenching.
I'll pick his brain on it more later, Andrew. Don't worry. He'll regale us with some stories. Go.
Well, I love Yurik and I love you too, Carmen. You guys are the absolute best.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, I'm listening to what you guys are talking about with the Bears and the Lions. I mean, like, to lose Jamal Williams, that is going to be nothing. A big story, in my opinion. No, don't you think so?
No, the running backs, come on, they change him in and out.
But that guy was a leader in the locker room, right?
If he was such a leader in the locker room, they wouldn't let him go, Andrew.
Jamal Williams.
Good point. So I just want to say that with the pickups, I love Ryan Poles, by the way. I think the guys hit a home run. We're so grateful to have him after all the struggles and tribulations through the years. So I'm so thankful for him. But I think the Bears have, with the NFC being really weak and all these nice pickups we've made, I think we're going to be a playoff team, guys. I'm not going to lie to you.
I hope. I don't know, Andrew. I can't get there yet. There's still more offseason to go. I cannot get there yet. Not enough has been accomplished. They do not have a pass rush, people. They do not have one. They do not possess it.
They can't get to the quarterback.
Now, can that change with Jalen Carter potentially? I'm scared to death of him, by the way. I want to pick your brain on that, Yurik. You were gone a lot last week after his pro day. It was disastrous. I do want to get your opinion on that coming up. But, like, can they draft Kancey and can he be awesome? Sure. As of today, they have no pass rush. You can't say they're a playoff team. Zero pass rush ability. So they're not yet. And this is what I think people are going to get all wrapped up in because they've done a lot. Oh, that's it. Everything's fixed. They're good. They're going to go from 3 to being a playoff team. Slow down. Right. Not yet.
They replace stuff they've lost with stuff they got. That's what they've done. Right? Linebackers for linebackers.
Yes.
Right?
Running backs for running backs.
So you've replaced like pieces, but you haven't improved your two lines. You have gotten a receiver.
Yes, which is big.
You've gotten a receiver, which is big. Your quarterback will be running for his life once again.
I want to talk to you a little bit more about Jalen Carter. You didn't have a chance to really chime in on that last week because you were gone on Wednesday. 312-332-3776. Talking Bears offseason draft stuff coming up now that we're moving beyond that first wave of free agency. It's Carmen and Yurko coming right back.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Hey, sunny day, warming up a little. Today or tomorrow, technically, the first day of spring. Today?
I believe it's today. Yeah.
Day of the equinox?
Today.
Happy equinox.
Yeah.
You do the balance the egg thing?
No, I don't do that at all. No, I cracked two eggs this morning.
I did too.
Had some sausage and eggs, a little bit of cheese, and a nice hoagie roll.
Beautiful.
For breakfast. It was delicious.
Lovely. Yurik's back. It's Kermit and Yurko. We'll crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie at 2. Fleck and Abdallah are on tonight, 7 to 8. They're going to be on after Bears Weekly. We were talking about that. Joniak and Jim Miller with T.J. Edwards and Nate Davis tonight. Bears Weekly every week here on your home for the Bears, ESPN Chicago. That's going to be on from 6 until 7. Tomorrow's spring trading. I'm with Sylvie in the afternoon.
Oh, congratulations.
You are at night with Black.
Chris Black and I, 6 to 8.
6 to 8. Abdallah's on in the morning with Hoodie.
Nope. Hey, Yurko, have we worked together before, Yurko?
No, Cap. I'm sorry.
Yes, yeah. We have.
Abdallah's
have
on
we,
with Cap.
Did we work together 2 weeks ago for this?
I believe we did.
I thought they said once you work.
All right.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, there's just so
what
many.
What happened? Oh, there's so many protocols.
What would we call them? Bogeys in the card, deck of cards. What would you call it? Uno cards. What is it called?
Those are the wild ones.
I'd say
draw four wild ones.
Are there too many caveats?
Is there not a true draw?
I think at the beginning of this whole thing, at the beginning of March, there was a process that was just allowed to happen naturally, smoothly, the way it's supposed to be,
and that's changed.
Now, there's a number of different caveats out there. If and if then, not then, but why.
Right.
Types of situations that have reared their head.
And somehow I landed on that list.
Yeah.
I don't know how somehow I got on the list.
You're on the list, too?
I believe
you're
so.
You're on Cap's no-fly list?
I didn't say that.
Oh. Literally, I'm on other no-fly lists, but I'm not on this note because Cap and I are hosting tomorrow from 7 to 10 a.m.
Well, he thinks you're the weaker one of the two, so now you have to come out full force. Boy.
Which is
7 a.m.
I kind of take offense to that because I thought I would be on the list over Chris.
Yeah, either way, I don't know. I just know on the Ides of March, March 15th. On the Ides of March.
That was last week.
Last week, according to the old Roman calendar, all debts are settled.
That's
on March 15th.
Be, right? Isn't that the?
And I guess on March 15th at ESPN Radio 1000, that's when all caveats are established for the course of a lifetime.
Well, I'll look forward to working with you tomorrow, Yurk.
I'll be here, kid. I'll be here with bells on. I had to switch a massage from 3:30 to 9 a.m.
Perfect.
So I'm going to be all oiled up. All oiled up, kid. I'm going to have a good time here. 6 to 8, the day sports have happened. And then me and my guy will be here. Me and Chris Black will make it happen.
Yeah, so it's going to be Abdallah and Cap in the morning, and then noon to 2 in our spot. It's going to be Hoodie and Waddle. I'm with Sylvie, and then you guys are on at night. So we'll cross.
Yeah, and of course, I don't know the specifics. I don't know the specifics.
No,
you know, I just got back into town.
Welcome back.
You know,
welcome
Johnny
back.
Two times.
Welcome.
What do you want to know about Jalen Carter?
Am I overreacting if now I am almost... Maybe I won't say officially, but I am now very concerned after the pro day last week.
Remember the overreaction you'd have to a guy jumping out of a swimming pool?
I never had an overreaction to that.
A guy dunking basketballs with two hands. All types of craziness and silliness that videos come out and tell you. And then what did I tell you then? I go to the film. Jalen Carter, I tell you, go to the film. What does the guy do after they win a national championship on the 12th? You think he's back in the weight room right away? No, he gained a little bit of weight. So what?
He gained 10 pounds in 9 days.
When a 325-pound man
probably easy.
Gains 10 pounds, you're talking about what? 3% of his body weight?
Yeah.
He go to morning constitution and lose 3 pounds. You know what I'm saying?
But why? He couldn't finish the workout.
Well, I mean, it's too bad for him, but I go back to the videotape and I watch him play.
Oh, boy.
Do you think after 6 weeks of training camp, he's not going to be in football shape?
I don't know what to expect anymore, Yurk. I think it's a terrible look.
Okay.
I think it speaks volumes about a kid that they are already questioning a little bit.
You won't have to worry about him at 9 because the Detroit Lions
will
make their defensive line much more superior by taking him at 6. So you'll never have a chance to worry about whether you should take Jalen Carter or not. You know who's up there telling them they're going to take Jalen Carter? Chris Spielman.
Spielman's
going, we're going with this stud. And guess what? He's going to be in the Motor City. A stud.
All right. Maybe it won't be the Bears' issue at all. You could be right.
It won't be.
Maybe he won't even
He'll
get
He'll be gone before he ever gets there. Don't worry about it.
Let's go to Dalen in Milwaukee. Hello, Dalen.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
We're great.
Good, good. Hey, I just wanted to give you my 2 cents on Poles not trading back. I don't have a problem with it. I feel like some of these guys who might go maybe like 1 through 8 could maybe be a little bit of a bust. I watched some of these guys' highlight tape, and you see guys like Will Anderson, Miles Murphy, like, yeah, they pass the eye test or whatever, but like when you look at them a little bit deeper, they're not really flexible. They're kind of like one-dimensional, especially with Will Anderson Jr. How is a guy like that who maybe isn't the fastest, isn't very flexible, how is he going to get around an edge like that? And I just don't think relying solely on a bull rush is going to translate to the NFL. It doesn't. And I just feel like Poles might be onto something here. And let's be honest and objective here. Like, last draft, he didn't really miss, did he? Like,
well,
he bounced
Valus is a miss. Come on.
Well, yeah, okay. Valus might be a miss. I mean, it still kind of remains to be seen.
He's 37.
Okay, outside of Valus Jones, though, like, he didn't really miss.
Yeah.
He hasn't really fumbled anything
That's true.
So let's just let the guy cook a little bit, you know?
Let him cook,
baby. Have some faith and trust the process.
Yeah, sure.
That's what we're doing.
That's exactly what we're doing. And Dalen, thanks. But just as easily as everybody could bust from 1 to 8, I got news for you, buddy. You could bust just as easily at 9. Anybody can bust anyway.
Absolutely.
So you could bust just as easily at 9.
We've gone through first rounds of drafts, and we go, who? There's guys that got drafted in the first round. Who?
Scratching your
head. I don't remember him.
Wayne's in Bedford Park. What's up, Wayne?
Wayne.
How are you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good.
Excellent. So for me, I'm looking at Poles at least 2 years before he's thinking about a Super Bowl run. Oh. And so because of that, if you take the Kansas City Chiefs, right, they're wide receiver. People are looking at wide receiver. People are looking at defensive line, edge rusher. To me, the most important piece is when the Kansas City Chiefs, when they lost in the Super Bowl, it was because of their offensive line, and they had Tyreek Hill. They had great, great wide receivers. They had a good defense. What killed them was their offensive line. And then when they repaired their offensive line, what happened? Guess what? They won the Super Bowl again. So to me, I'm not sure if he's going to fix it this year or the next year because he's got 2 years. But when the Bears fix their offensive line totally and they have a great offensive line, that's when I know they're ready to win the Super Bowl. I want to hear your thoughts.
Thanks, Wayne.
Well, I think the fixing of the offensive line is imperative. Yeah. Could it be a 1 or 2 year plan? It looks like it's going to be a 2 year plan. It's a 1 year plan right now. It looks like it's going to be a 2 year plan. And I wonder who the quarterback will be that will be benefiting from that offensive line.
Will it be Justin Fields?
Who's got to have a Jalen Hurts like year?
Or he's got to do enough to convince them.
He's got to improve.
Yes.
Can't stay the same. You got to improve.
And Ryan Poles said as much. And I'll tell you what, I'll read you some quotes coming up next from Albert Breer's article. And what did Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus tell Justin Fields during the exit interviews back in January? We'll let you know because he was open about it. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Listen to us now. Live on the ESPN Chicago app. Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Ryan Poles, very comfortable talking to the media. I like that. He's out there talking to Peter King and Albert Breer again. Breer's probably Breer on tomorrow with you guys, Adam. You and Cap in the morning. Is Albert coming on?
Oh, yeah.
His usual spot.
Every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday. Albert Breer at SI.com wrote this. As he discussed his sit-down over the weekend with Ryan Poles, he said, I wondered aloud whether Poles had told Justin Fields he was their guy. Quote, I think my actions have said enough, close quote, he said with a laugh. Indeed, in trading the first pick in the draft to Carolina, the message was pretty clear. Fields is Chicago's guy for 23 with a real chance over the next 10 months or so to make himself the Bears guy for a lot longer than that, too. But in doing his job, Poles had to investigate, well, everything before he could get Fields real clarity, implicit or otherwise, on his status. This started with a conversation the day after the Bears locked down the top pick. The exit meetings, we just told him where we think he can improve. But at the same time, we were very proud of what he did accomplish, Poles said. I think the biggest thing was really staying in contact with him and his agent and just letting him know that we're going to figure this thing out. We're going to communicate as we move forward because I just knew that with all the noise, he's going to hear different things. And at the end of the day, Justin is still a young kid. I don't care how mature you are, that stuff affects you. I think you knew all along that there's a strong chance we were going to really lean towards seeing what he's capable of doing and how much he can improve. I think he could feel that. I think he thought it through our conversations. He knew it was important to us. At the same time, in this league, things change so much, it's hard to give definitive answers and say, yes, this is what we're going to do. But Breer goes on to write about why they decided to take this path now and also what was so attractive about DJ Moore. He writes, Moore was attractive for a number of reasons. First and foremost, he's a really good player. He's also on a reasonable contract, locked up for 3 more years. And he could help simultaneously amplify Fields and help the Bears further clarify their quarterback's NFL ceiling. Then there are the specifics. Two things, Poles said. Coming out, I remember how strong he played. impact player, receiver that could play inside, outside, separating routes. Then he has this level of strength to him that I really admired. On top of that, the person was outstanding. Great for the locker room. He's a worker, a grinder, not a lot of noise or distraction. He's just a dude. So you could tell Poles, for some time, has coveted and had his eye on DJ Moore. And again, that was the thing that put this over the top, York. And now they start to remove any excuses for Justin Fields. Now you have a top-flight receiver. Let's go see how you can get better. Now you have Robert Tonyan in that room as well with Cole Kmet. Let's see how you can get better.
You don't have to make a decision until you have to make a decision.
And they're going
to
use this
year
to decide.
We've said that since the day he was drafted.
Right.
No decision has to be made until the end of the year. And they will.
And now they have two first-round picks next year.
There you go.
Two. In their back pocket, which I think for him was important. Because if he's not the guy and they're not picking up the fifth-year option, guess what comes in play next year?
You can make a move to go up to number one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you find yourself the flexibility to be able to do that. You hope you don't have to.
I know.
And you can continue to build. Who just got their fifth year picked up? Tua.
Tua.
So Tua gets his fifth year picked up.
Yeah.
They showed enough. I didn't think it was going to happen with what happened to, you know, the three concussions. I mean, those were just him being thrown to the ground. He got a concussion.
I know.
I mean, it seems like if he has a hard sneeze, he could get a concussion. That's what I worry about. So, but they decide to do it, and it's their money. They can spend it the way they want. Chicago's going to analyze what they got in the football player with Justin Fields. Obviously, his relationship with the guys that are there and how good he plays. And that decision will come in January, February.
Yeah,
March. That's when they'll make that decision.
If he's great, it comes in January. Right. If not, it's going to take a while, and maybe it doesn't happen.
It doesn't have to be made now, which is the most important thing. Nobody has to make that decision now.
It's why, Poles really is, in a sense, sitting in that proverbial catbird seat. You're right. Because he's, he got gifted the number one pick. He's turned that into stuff. He's got the option next year to fix it if they evaluate Justin Fields for another year and they realize, no, he's not the long-term answer. If he is, great. Best thing for all of us, finally, be great. But they're in a position, if he's not, where they can still strike. And that's why this is a thing of beauty. That's why, again, we should be thanking the Texans and Lovie for the way Week 18 went. And what the Bears were gifted and what he was able to do to flip it and secure what is already, at the very least, two first-round picks next year. It is a beautiful thing.
He doesn't have to explain to me why he did what he did. You did what you thought was best for the Bears. You went down to 9. After communications with a bunch of different people, you felt this was going to be the best for your team, period. And once DJ Moore was the guy that was coming over, you did it. Good. Nice. Decisive. Now you're sitting at 9 waiting to happen. I don't think Jalen Carter gets there. Jalen Carter will be picked up at 6.
You don't think he's getting past Detroit, huh?
Not past Detroit, no. I don't think so.
Man, if he turns out to be good, man, they're going to have a ferocious pass rush.
Oh, yeah.
They already have a pretty good
pass rush. If he turns out to be good, he wasn't the best player in the draft. Playing in the 2022 campaign, and all of a sudden, because he had a few too many Schuydels, all of a sudden now he can't play? I still saw what I saw on film. I still saw what I saw on film. Don't let a bad month dictate three years.
Fine.
How many ever years of college football you played? I'll say 3.
Let's also remember that college football players that were great in college still bust out in the NFL for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, of course they do. I've watched it happen my whole life.
Right, that's what I mean. You don't know that he's going to be great.
But he's still considered to be the best player in the draft.
I think he's right up there.
And I think the one thing you can say is that he's not on steroids. After I saw his body without his shirt on. Yeah. Not only that, when you're the only defensive lineman to be asked to work out, and I've done it when I went to Jacksonville, and they had me running around like a spring chicken with no rotation.
No.
Usually you got defensive linemen, we got 10, 11 guys there. And then you're doing it, and you're getting a 9-guy break before you're asked to do it again. When you're asked to keep moving for the better part hockey player, moving his butt off for what, 50 seconds? He's off the ice, exhausted.
Yeah.
Right? What's he need? A break to come back.
That's true.
They're running him in drills nonstop. Hey, I need a break. I was exhausted watching him. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
All right.
I have zero problem.
God,
would I prefer
scared to death?
Would I be preferred that he be a professional?
Yeah.
And would have shown up in shape, ready to work and make things happen? Sure, I would have. But I also understand it's 2 months after their season.
Maybe you're right. It's not going to matter anyway. It could be moot at this point. Who do you think the Bears are? I don't know. It's so hard. It's still such a long way away.
I think a receiver, offensive line.
That's what I think.
I think offensive lineman more than I think receiver.
Yeah.
Or edge rusher. Maybe this is where you get your edge rusher.
Maybe one of the Clemson kids, or one of them's in more inside.
Who's the
inside.
Kid? Texas Tech?
Tyree Wilson, yeah. I don't know that he'll be there either, but maybe.
Well, you don't know. Somebody's going to be there.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And you're going to have a choice.
One of those guys will be there. Like Wilson, Carter, one of the Clemson kids. Anderson will be long gone at that point. I think that's the only guarantee at this point. But, yeah, you'd think one of them will be there for them to choose from. But it does sort of feel like maybe it is O-line. Maybe they do love Skoronski, but they want to kick him inside. And then you say, well, do you want to spend the ninth pick on a guard? Listen, if he turns out to be...
Alan Faneca, you
sure,
do.
Sure, yeah, exactly. Quentin Nelson, Alan Faneca.
Randall McDaniel.
Sure. Okay. John Hanna, yes. Okay.
One of the Pouncey brothers.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
If you tell me he's that good for that long, all right, so you spent the ninth pick on it, but you got an absolute stud at that position. Maybe it's a receiver. Maybe they move back again a little bit and get a receiver still. Maybe they love Smith and Jigba.
Maybe wide receiver out of Ohio State.
Out of Ohio State. Maybe they love Jordan Addison. I think, you know,
USC.
USC. Quentin Johnson. Maybe they want a bigger guy.
TCU.
Exactly. You got all your guys.
I think it's more likely that they try to find a way to trade back into the top of the second round, then move back.
I think so, too, because it's a long break between 9 and 53. Yeah. I think they're probably staying there when it's all said and done and then try to find a way to package some of the stuff they have. To move into the top 45.
Somebody goes goofy, and they want 9, somebody specific at 9, you can move down and then acquire a second-round pick.
And then, well, that's a good idea, yeah. That's true. I guess you could do that.
The trading down has not stopped.
All these things are in place.
You know what I'm saying? The trading back has not stopped.
Yeah. Any Bears NFL free agency thoughts, let us know at 312-332-3776. Some other fun stuff from the weekend, including... a tournament that I didn't think I would be as into, but I've been very into it, and I think a lot of people have been.
Oh, the Valspar, huh?
Not the Valspar.
Oh, great
Definitely
tourney.
Not the Valspar.
NASCAR race in Atlanta?
Not NASCAR racing in Atlanta.
Something's got you tickled.
There's a new Captain America. We're back in just 2 minutes.